Now I got somebody asking. There you go. So we're going to talk about how to get started. You know, my title was like, start now, don't wait, your life depends on it. And I, you know, it sounds kind of really out there that your life depends on it. But the reality is I look at my life and what I want to create in my life is so much greater than what I have today, if that makes sense to all of you. And God has gifted me with so much that, you know, I am so blessed, but there's so much more that I could do if I just had more resources. So I'm looking at my life saying, okay, so what's 2015 going to yield for me? Because the only limitation of my life in terms of creating a lot of that stuff is, where's the financial part of it coming from? I can give of my time, and I only have so much time. Time is a limited asset for every one of us, 24 hours. Because some people go, well, I just dedicate my time to do this and this and this. I said, great, but you're taking your only limited asset and you're saying that's what's limiting you in creating a difference and making a difference in this world. When money is unlimited, it's unlimited. We can create it in a million different ways. We just, those of us in Manatech have chosen Manatech as a vehicle, but have we really chosen it, or are we just toying with it? So the reality for me is that if I want to create all the things that are laid on my heart for the upcoming years, I need to create a greater stream of income. And that's what Manatech presents it for me. It's an opportunity to double, triple the income that's coming in today. So that's where I am. I want to make a difference. I want to make a bigger difference. I want to do more things. I have more mission. Next year's 2 mission trips. Not one. I'm spreading myself now, a couple weeks in Brazil and now going to Kenya. I mean, there are just things I want to do and create out there and build more churches. So it's, and that's just my heart to you. It's not, you all have different concepts of what you want to create and how you want to help make this world different. And we all are driven by whatever that vision is that's laid on our heart, no matter whether that comes from, you know, if you're a Christian, it's coming from the Lord. He gives us our heart's desires. If you're a different faith, wherever that's coming from, all of us have a drive in our life to make this world better. All of us. And some of us have maybe given up on it, or we've quieted that inside self, but I want you to free that open. And so in reality, does your life depend on it? Well, your voice being heard depends on it. And I want all of your voices heard in 2015 and 2016 and 2017, because I know the heart of the Manatech people. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things when you can go on these incentives and the people are just so delightful to be around. They're a joy. They have a love. I trust them. I love them, like all of you. And it's, I know that what you want for this world is good. So, you know, I want you to be so overwhelmingly blessed financially so you can carry out all that goodness that God's blessed you with. So let's work on looking at 2015 as a breakout year for all of us and then create it, because it's all part of creating and we all have the capacity to do that. So how do we get started? Let's jump in and talk about the different concepts here, because this is going to hit home. Take out your, you know, take out a marker, a yellow marker, pink, whatever, and start highlighting things that really hit you that maybe are topics that you need to work on. And I start with the basics. I think, you know, first and foremost, are the basics. You got to start looking at yourself. Where am I falling short in my belief system? Because that's really core to us becoming who we know we can be. It's what is our belief system in ourself, you know? We have to start looking, why do we shortchange ourselves? Why are we, you know, what would happen for some of you, it's our belief in ourselves. And what would happen if you believed you are enough, right? I mean, just so many of us believe, well, we can't do that until we're this, this, and this, or we can't do this until we're this, this, and this. Well, that just restricts you from being the creator that you are built to be. So why don't we start believing we are enough? That doesn't mean we don't work on ourselves. It just means that we move forward. We take action based on we are enough. I don't have to prove to anyone. I don't need to go out and get anyone's approval. I don't need to go out and seek out people to clap for me or applaud me. Or I am enough. Now, that means I'm numb to people who want to, you know, try to control me emotionally or try to control other aspects of my life, because I know that I can do what I can do. I can create what God's given me the ability to create, and I work on myself to become greater. And I listen to feedback, but it doesn't control me, it doesn't rob me, and it's not going to diminish what I can do on this planet. So belief in ourselves is critical. We need to work on that, believing in ourselves. We need to believe in the products. And I don't, most people that's not a problem for, because most of us understand the incredible nature of this glyconutrient technology and what we've created. I mean, why are pharmaceutical giants calling Dr., you know, Sinnott and talking to him about his studies that are published on PubMed? Why is PubMed being overwhelmed with the number of people, you know, going into the glyconutrient, glycobiology studies that are out there in overwhelming numbers today? Why is glycobiology so popular? So why is the National Academy of Sciences drafting a 196-page report on glycoscience? These things aren't accidental. This science has overwhelmingly become one of the most popular areas of research today and development of products, both in the drug realm as well as nutritional area. So products are great. The company, you know, what's going on with your company? Sometimes, you know, we talked last week, or not last week, that was Jeff, but 2 weeks ago, I hit really hard on what I see as some of your limiting belief. You have a limiting belief not about the company, but about the industry that we're in, which is in that same category. Are you not believing in network marketing? Are you not believing in our direct sales model? And if you're not, you've got to work on that. Be honest with yourself and say, okay, so how do I work on it? And that's why I gave suggestions in how to work on that in that call. If you weren't on it 2 weeks ago, go listen to it. Dig into that outline. I got so much feedback from you guys on that one to help you and your people in your organization. Be honest about it. You know, when people lie about it, it gets you nowhere. So you've got to be really honest. I am a professional network marketer. Wear that badge. Put it on your, you know, on your lapel. Put it in your wallet. Wear it like you be proud of it. I'm proud of it. I go to these professional organizational meetings and they just blow me out of. So be proud of the company. Be proud. I told the company over the trip. I said, you know what? I finally feel we have the right players on the bus. I personally was not a Bo Short fan. I was his fan when he first started, but I told people after a year, you'd think I'd know who he was. I still didn't know him. I felt very uncomfortable. When I don't know somebody, I feel very uncomfortable. I mean, I know Rob Sinnott. I know Ray Robbins. I know Al Bala. I know all these people. I know the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever's there, as they know Mary Jo. You know, because we bear ourselves to each other. We get to know each other. We care about each other. We have a love for each other. I had nothing with Bo Short. There wasn't a connection. There was, you follow? So enough of him, but the idea that when I was down in Putacana, I said, you know what? I told corporate staff, I said, I really feel we have the right guys on the bus. I love Joel Bickman. He's incredible. I spent a lot of time with him. I got to know him when he first started, and I there's very little I see in him that I don't like. It's almost everything is like huge. It's all upside with Joel. So it's neat to see that we have the greatest marketing director we've ever had for Manic. So I feel confident and comfortable about the officers who's running the company today. I love, you know, Stan Frederick has done an incredible job with our CFO, just in terms of, you know, keeping course in this company, because it's very hard to shrink a company, and they did that over the last 5-6 years after the Texas AG, and now we're on a path of straight up. You know, it's like super. It's hard to do. I was in a company that I took through bankruptcy and then had gain. I can tell you, it's heart-wrenching. It's horrible. It's like you get home at the end of the day and you just feel like you're exhausted every day. It's a lot easier when a company's on a total upward trend than it is when it's on a downward spiral. So give a lot of credit to the company. And the mission, of course, we all love the mission M5M. So, but you've got to look at that for yourself, and you've got to say, where am I falling short? What do I need to work on? Jim Rohn said, your personal philosophy is the greatest determining factor in how your life works out. So, and this has more to do than just your belief system, but it's anchored in your belief system, because your personal philosophy starts with what you believe in and what you don't. But philosophically, where are you coming up short? I mean, what do you? I just want you to grapple with that, understanding that's your limiting factor. Limiting beliefs are out there, and that's why we promote self-development with people. That's why we send people through the Clemmer work and all sorts of things, because we want you to overcome limiting beliefs that you have, whether it's in yourself, whether it's the industry, whether it's product, whether whatever it is. What you can create. You need to see them and you need to act on them. You need to find out what they are because they're holding you back. So beliefs are huge. We all want to work on them and do what it takes to knock those concepts out of your life so you're not there. We choose our personal philosophy. We choose our personal beliefs. Sometimes people have supplanted that by putting them in our lives when we were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In fact, that's when most of our belief system was developed. And some of them you can say, I didn't choose it. My parents gave it to me. Well, today you're choosing it. Because if it's still there, you're not choosing out of it, so you're choosing into it. So you've got to look at what those are, whether it's scarcity mentality, which is rampant, whatever it might be. Overcome those things. Work on those. Put those on your list. Boy, I'm hammering that. I'm not taking that into 2015. Or if I do, I'm taking it head on to be quashed forever. Because that's what changes you, is taking on those limiting beliefs that you have. And there are plenty of great books out there about beliefs and what, you know, Think and Grow Rich, The Seven Mindsets, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, As a Man Thinketh, The Magic of Believing. These are all great books. There are plenty of them out there to understand the power of belief. Try the Bible, for instance. That's a core book that really gets that home. It's the power of belief. And I loved it. I was listening the other day. I don't know if you guys continue to listen to these. I go back and I recycle them. But, you know, I told Lydia, it's an everyday behavior. In the past 3 months, I've been practicing for our Christmas rehearsal. So when I work out every morning, I had my Christmas song because I was saying alto. Well, that performance was yesterday. It was awesome. So now I put back in all my, you know, from all of the tapes that we get in the Success Series and the Champion Series. And I listened to another one, and I this morning I heard from, you know, that whole piece that Al Ballad did about the three, you know, the three powers and all this kind of, and listening to Bo talk about the red, yellow, and green light from the Tom Series was, you know, we need to, the red light says stop and listen to what you're telling yourself. And how many of you have written a presidential speech yet? And if you haven't, why not? If you haven't written your presidential speech yet, then you have a belief problem. So that's a red light. Stop. Right? Yellow is the area where you go, how do I change to serve myself? What can I start doing today? I'm here on, how do I change my language? Some of you say, well, I'm just going to wait till people approach me. I'm going to wait till people come to me. Well, that's not going to work for you. So how do you change that? Maybe you start an affirmation like, I'm here on earth to serve others. How can I do that today? You start redrafting your languaging. Redraft the language. Reprogram yourself. You don't need outside help to do it. You can do it yourself. It's just outside books and people and mentors can help coach you to expose these things to yourself and help you perhaps with affirmation statements that will guide you forward. So yellow is that, and then green is the green light is, okay, go forward. Implement and move forward. Change that stuff. Catapult yourself forward. And we look at ourselves and we say, well, boy, this is going to take a long time, or we put all these stuff. We go, because why do we give up on some of these aspects? Because we think it's overwhelming, it takes too much time. There are two great books out there that really hammer on this. One's called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. The other is The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. All great books. But they talk about the little things we change every day. If we start developing better habits, little bites every day, little bites, and we repeat ourselves every day. We change a little bite, a little language bite, and repeat. That's why daily affirmations are great. That's part of that process. But there are many things that we do. Little habits, just baby habits. Just like working out every morning. At 6 o'clock, I get up. I'm at the gym by 6:15, 6:20. You know, I work out for 45 minutes every day. When I do that every day, what do you think is going to happen to me 12 months from now? Exactly. What do you think? Why can Mary Jo run a 5K when she turned 60 on her 60th birthday? I see people every day that are 60 years old. They look like my great-grandmother. Why? Well, you know, take care of that body. Take care, honor that. Honor, build those little things in your life that will make a difference in your life every day. But the problem is we want it to happen tomorrow, right? So you got to be really conscious. And that's why The Slight Edge and Compound Effect are such great books, because they talk about being patient and knowing that you know that if I do this every day, eventually great things will happen. Just like if I show the plan, I never forget Jordan Adler getting on stage. Somebody, 10 years of failure, 11 different network marketing companies, and finally he got a guru's advice. Show the plan 3 times a day. Be consistent. Never stop. And he did it 5 days a week, and a year and a half later, he had signed up 100 and some people, and 8 of those people made him a multimillionaire. Why? He didn't give up. It didn't happen in the first 3 months or 6 months, but he never gave up. He believed, and so he did it. So, great thing. Three powers are part of who we are today, the power of unity. We know about these powers, and we want to make sure they're part of our life. I talked to you about being in Punta Cana, how powerful that was. Same way I felt leaving the leadership event in November. We can tell people are listening to these tapes every day. We can tell. We see shifts in their lives. We see selfishness and you know, disparities and people going in their own direction. All of that's being quashed. People are getting together. We're growing together. We're committed to creating a result together in a community where we're all in unity. It's a wonderful expression, and it's good to see. So it's important for us to continue along that alignment. So it's just because it carries so much power. It makes it just instills more belief and more drive and more results in everybody's organization when we have this power of unity. Power of submission, it's huge too. It's biblical for most of us to have a Christian walk. We understand where it comes from, right? The power of submission, and submission occurs in every, and it's not because there's any kind of command in the universe about what I say. It works. It allows things to work. It allows us to get consensus. It allows us to have effective things that transpire. We don't always get exactly our way, but the power of submission allows us to be in consensus with a group. It allows us to learn and grow and become better in every situation in which we're involved. So power of submission is huge, and we need to all grasp onto that. The power of the spoken word. Again, it's not merely a reflection of what's inside of you. This is an issue on clearing up what's on the outside, right? We want to clean up what's coming out of us. The spoken word is so crucial, and it comes from our belief system. You know, our belief system triggers our brain. You know, belief system, subconscious to mouth. It's just so when garbage comes out, garbage is deep inside, and we got to cleanse that out to make sure that we keep our spoken words edifying. We edify each other. You should have seen in our meetings down there, the edification was absolutely awesome. Edifying, standing up and edifying people and edifying the organization, edifying other people in the room, edifying other presidentials, even the executives and nationals that were there and the officers. It's all about edification. So power of spoken word, crucial. All right, do you have excuses for not setting goals? Some of you are out there and go, I don't set goals. And I hear it every year because I try to, you know, help people achieve what they want in life. That's what I'm here to do, is serve and to support people having the best possible life, that their life of their dreams. And so I stumble across people who say, well, I don't really, goals have never worked for me. And I go, well, why don't you work for your goals? It's kind of an interesting thought. Just because you write down a goal doesn't mean it's magical. It doesn't just appear. You know, goals are crucial. Why do we want goals? You know, it's critical. People say they never worked, and I said they never worked them. You felt like you failed when you didn't meet them, so you beat up on yourself and you said, I'm not doing this again. It was uncomfortable. Oh, really? Do you think Mary Jo went through some discomfort when she left the practice of law that she could do in her sleep, making 6 figures, to doing network marketing? It was totally uncomfortable. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to behave. I could rip your heart out. I couldn't talk from my heart. I was used to being in the legal environment, which was all about, you know, winning and negotiating and getting in. And now all of a sudden I needed to inspire people. You know, I mean, it was a total shift in my entire life. But you know what? It was right. So I was willing to shift. So it wasn't that things didn't work. I didn't let things didn't work stop me. When you find something that doesn't work for you, but it works for everybody else in the world, how many books are written out there about writing down your goals? A zillion, right? Everybody who you've ever read, who you have respect for as successful business people will tell you written goals are absolutely critical. So why do you let a little bit of, you know, frustration stop you? Throw it aside. You're not living in the past, people. You're living today. Wash yourself new. Step out and say, be gone. The past, be gone. A new day, a new era. Let's make goals work for us. It's just a lot of extra work. Yeah, it is some extra work. But it lays the foundation. It's like, oh, I want to build a house. I don't want to lay a foundation. I just want to put a few pieces of straw up and nail them to a few pieces of wood. Well, the first little wind blows and it's down. So what's going to happen to your business? You got to get the foundation. And foundation takes work. And it's every bit of this work is more important than any work you're going to do in 2015. So do it now. Get it down clear. Andy Andrews made a comment. He says, you know, don't lie to yourself. What is he saying when he says don't lie to yourself? Well, you know, many of you have read The Traveler's Gift. If you haven't, it's a book you ought to get a hold of and read. And there he says, until a person takes responsibility for where he is, there is no basis for moving on. So it's the reality of knowing where you are. You got to, when you're setting goals and you're looking at doing that, you got to, and people don't want to do it. That's what they're afraid of doing. They don't want to set a goal because they don't want to admit where they are. So they want to lie about where they are. They misrepresent to people where they are or what they may not have created in Manatech in the past. Your past does not control your future. You do, not your past. Man, if past controlled people's futures, how do people ever who have a disaster in their life ever move forward? Are there people like that out there? Absolutely. There are people that have a disaster that commit suicide. There are people, it's a choice. You can choose all that. I took a company through bankruptcy and came out the other side. I took a company through bankruptcy and didn't come out the other side. Now, if I would have beat up on myself and said, boy, you're a failure, I never would be where I am today. It was a learning experience. Tough, grueling, absolutely. So just because what's happened in the past with you in Manatech doesn't mean it controls your future. But who has to change? You do. You keep waiting for everything else to change. You need to change. What's inside of you? Because if it didn't work in the past, what do I need to do differently? Who do I need to become to be the best I can be in this business? And that means make an investment in self to be better about what you do. Because network marketing works. It creates more millionaires than any other model out there. So does it work? Yeah. You need to choose into that. Because you're the one that takes on yourself in this process. And that's why so many people love network marketing. That's why Robert Kiyosaki says it's his number one business model. You know why? Number one business model. Why? Not because of time freedom, not because of money freedom, not because it's entrepreneurial, not because none of those reasons. He says because it's the one industry that makes a huge, huge contribution, huge contribution, huge emphasis on personal development. So that's what he loves about it. So if you're looking at yourself and saying, well, what did I learn? How have I grown? I mean, my transformation was huge in this business. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it wouldn't have transpired. And I continue to work on myself because I got plenty. I got a laundry list of things to work on. Trust me, I'm going through all these exercises with you over the next 3 weeks. If you're playing ball with me, I'm playing ball because I'm going to do it because I need it. So look at yourself and say, do you need it or not? Up to you. You make that decision for yourself, but important. All right, so written goals, critical. We're going to go after it. We're not going to lie to ourselves. We're going to be real with ourselves. We're going to do written goals. They're crucial. Written goals reinforce your commitment. They help you remember. They help you. They make you accountable. They give you clarity, right? And there's a great one out there, by the way. Tony Jerry just put out a promo piece that you can go to YouTube, Why Goals Work. And he talks about there, he talks about clarity, he talks about the reticulating activation system, RAS. Now, I don't know that you have to get so wild and woolly with all the terminology, but the importance is, he says, goals are critical. He took the, in this little blip in this video, brand new, and he said, he looked at his acronym, goals, the word G-O-A-L-S stands for Great Objectives Assure Lasting Success. Isn't that great? Great Objectives Assure Lasting Success. That's what goals stand for him, all right? So we want to get out there, get those written goals down. New Year's resolutions, a lot of people get caught up in New Year's resolutions. MD News says today that in health goals, 36% of the people that set health goals for the new year give up by February 1st, and 56% within 6 months. And we know these statistics are outrageous out there. The statistics, I saw one that was 87%, they quit their goals by the end of the first 30 days because they're impatient. They don't have what? Discipline. The big D word. Is that missing in your life? If that's one of your words, you know what? Look in the leadership characteristics. Leaders have discipline. We have discipline. Why does Mary Jo go work out at 6 o'clock in the morning? Because I really like to get up that early? No. It's called discipline. It's called, I care about my body. I physically want to be fit for as long as the Lord has me on this planet. So I'm taking care of this body. I'm going to take care of it. And that's a dedication to that. It may not be the most comfortable thing I do. It may not be the thing I like the most, but you know what? I do it. But it gives me great time to do work on myself, not just physically, but mentally, because I play tapes when I work out. It's great. It's a combination. I get two for the price of one, if you get it. I get double time when I'm working out. Do the same for yourself. It'll give you more enthusiasm to work out because you know that's when you listen to great tapes and great things that are helping you change and shift. But we got to commit to that. New Year's resolutions. We don't want to be caught up in people that, you know, plan on doing things and don't show up doing them. Right. And how many of you heard, I had in here this new thing. I hadn't heard of it before. I'm trying to, it's called the long pole in the tent. Have anyone heard that? You can look it up on the internet. I'll let you go do that. It's called the long pole in the tent, and the long pole in the tent. What does it mean? I never heard the expression before, but I came across it when I was doing some research for the call today. It means it's the pole that holds up everything. So what does it matter to you? It's kind of like if you're making progress on your goals and you aren't getting what you want out of your life, you can usually isolate it to the long pole obstacle that's holding everything up. So if you want to ask yourself, make that hard question. What one specific thing, and for some of you it might be more than one, but what one big thing? It might be discipline, right? I don't know what it is. There are plenty of them out there. What is the one specific thing that's holding you back? Typically, it's something that you're unsure of how to overcome or you're afraid of it, so it's just unpleasant, so you just avoid it. Because some of the strategies that won't work for you is dancing around the issue. That never works. Waiting for it to pass. It's not going to pass, people. Lack of discipline doesn't just go away. You have to hit these things head on. Pretending it's not there, oh, that's your favorite. Sometimes we do that by pointing fingers and becoming victim to other things. But what is your long pole in the tent for you? How to overcome obstacles? Honestly identify the obstacle. So that means write them down. Write it down, whatever it is. Write it down. That's how you start. You got to be identifying it first. Focus on it. Focus on what it is and what it isn't. It's holding up progress. It's holding you back from being the best you can be. It's holding you back from what? From creating greatness around you. It's holding you back from all the dreams that you've tucked away, that you've just let dissipate. How can that long pole be more important than the dreams you have? My gosh, really? Get through it. Identify it, focus on it, get through it. Don't make excuses, don't wait, do it now. You just got to develop strategies, using strategies to help you accomplish the goals that you have. And you got to get the long pole in the tent out of your way, otherwise it'll forever be there. So understand that, that's a tackler. Okay, second, so we got through basics, right? Some of those basics, getting some own way. Two, start with vision. So we're going to start with why. Some of you have read Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why. That has to do with corporate whys, right? But we also have our whys that have very similar. You can, if you haven't read the book, you can go to a lot of websites, YouTube, j6design.com.au has a couple of Simon Sinek's clips there, videos that you can watch, short ones. But understanding how to talk about it, you know, that the whole idea is, how we express ourselves, people don't buy, they're not, from what, he draws those three circles. The middle one's why, the second one's how, and the outside one is what. If you want to market what, if you go out there and say, hey, I'm marketing nutritional supplements, you're not going to sell them to anyone, right? You know that already. You've seen how ineffective it's been. So what are we, if we're going to go out there and market, if we're going to take on a new look, if we look at Simon and we understand what he's teaching here, just the core, some of the core principles around his process, he talks about what is it that we're really selling? What's the why behind Manitech? The why behind Manitech, some of you go, well, it's M5M. I go, no, it's not. I mean, M5M is something new and we love M5M and it's a great mission to have, but that's not our why. Our why is because we're changing status quo. We're changing the marketing of nutritional products. We're changing the approach to health. We're opening the floodgates for people to take back control of their health through plant-sourced nutrients. We're changing the paradigm and saying deficiency creates disease conditions, so let us help you resolve deficiency in your life. These are the whys. These are the whys behind our product. You follow me? That's, you got to start looking at, for me, I mean, every one of us do that analysis, but understanding the concept of start with why is really important for us so that we can be better communicators of why we're doing what we're doing. Why we're doing, and why, or why Manitech, the why behind Manitech, the why behind the corporate. Now, if you look at why you're doing something, that's your why as well. You know, instead of going out there and telling people, well, I'm doing this because I want to make money, that's not a why. Because money's just dirty paper. So what is your why? What is it? My why is I have, the Lord's laid so many desires in my heart in terms of what I want to do. My why is so big today. It's so big. It's whether it's, you know, helping out Kenya, water wells, building churches, it's helping, you know, feeding programs, it's helping orphanages. I mean, there's so much, and I can't do it in my 24 hours. So I need to leverage. I need to leverage. So I found a mechanism of leveraging where I can create residual income streams so that 500 years from now, my legacy will live on. Whatever programs I get associated with will live on. And that's why I do what I do. So find out what that why is for you, too, because when you can communicate that with people, some people will get it, everyone's different, but they need to feel that out. We need to find that in people. You need to find yours. There is no right or wrong when you talk about value assessments, because we all have different, you know, if I listed my top five core values, they're going to be different than every one of you. And it's not because we're different religion or we're different, you know, faiths or we're different. It doesn't matter. None of those things, those are important in our life, but they don't, we are uniquely made. We have unique things that drive us. So determine what those values are. And so I gave you a little bit of exercises, you know, there's a number of aspects of ways you can pursue what are my values. But a lot of it is self-digging. It's just sitting down and just doing, you know, like this aimless pursuit of reality. That's how I want life to be. What would be ideal? And just start journaling. And I'm not talking about 10 minutes, people. I'm talking about a few hours today. And then maybe another one or two tomorrow. And this is about, it's about self-discovery. Some of you don't want to dig there because you feel like all this stuff's going to come out from the past. This isn't about past. It's about you. It's about you. Don't let past stop you. Again, past has no relevance to future. The only thing past does is we learn lessons from our past. But it doesn't put any limitation on what you do tomorrow. Zero. No limitations. You choose. You can say, well, Mary Jo, but I lied and I did this and I hurt some people. You know what? That's why there's such massive forgiveness in this world. That's why Christ died on the cross. But you got to learn to forgive yourself. And then move on. Move on. Today's a new day. That's the many blessings that we have. We can always create a better tomorrow. But you have to believe that. When you hang on to your past, then you want to go victim. And that's a choice you can make too. But these are choices. Just choices. We make choices. You can choose to be ineffective. You can choose not to fulfill your dreams. You can choose out of life. Those are all choices people make. They make them every day. How do I know that? Look at the statistics. So don't be a statistic. Be a winner. Be a driver. Make a difference. And that's what we want to do. So we want to go through that. Dig into yourself. What is it about? What I want to just go in. What is it that drives me? What do I want my life to be? What would be ideal? Ask those questions over and over and over again. Dig, 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 dig. Because it may not come out the first time around. That's why I say 2 hours, 3 hours. Maybe tomorrow another 2 hours. Maybe some of you might take 2 weeks. 2 hours a day before some of this starts coming out. Find a mentor, perhaps, that you can share with and you can talk to who's not going to be critical or, you know, not a spouse unless somebody's really, really supportive. I couldn't share my stuff with my spouse because he's such a black and white guy. He's the analyst quadrant, you know. He still tells me to go find a regular job. Really? I mean, it's like, really? kind of humorous, but... So you understand that all the money in the world is not going to solve what he wants in life because he wants a regular job thing. It doesn't matter. The financial benefits that he's received through all this doesn't matter at all. That's his paradigm. He's stuck. But you're not. None of us have to choose to be stuck. We can get unstuck, and that's what we work on. So anyway, so dig into that. Other things, vision, values. I gave you a list of values, you know, because what you need to do is grab onto what your values are. And I really work with people on this because I want it really core. For me, values come first. That's the underlying foundation. Then you create vision. Then from vision, you can create goals. But you can't get to goals without values and vision. You can't because they're not based on a foundation. So you got to start with values and what are your most core important values. And don't put down the Lord, even though... As for me, as a Christian, of course the Lord's number one in my life. But when you talk about the Bible and the Lord, what you're talking about is you're talking about massive numbers of values. So you want to be really specific, kowtow into specific ones. There's also a mechanism here to ask those questions. So ask those kind of questions that will help lead, guide, and direct you. Draft a to-be list. You must have a be before we do. People so often go the wrong direction. They do. You get involved in Manatech and you just go, you're like an ever-ready bunny. Whatever you have out of what you do will soon disappear if you don't get the core foundation of beingness. And that's the most important. So I tell you to look at leadership characteristics, look at characteristics that you are not today. Every year I go through this exercise. I circle ones that I want to work on and I put them at the top of my being list and I look at them every day. They're part of my computer. They're on there every day. So I work on what am I doing? What books am I reading to help me grow in these areas? I find those weaknesses. Same with you. You want to make sure to do that. And draft up a purpose or vision statement, a mission statement. And there, I gave you some ideas of books out there in case you have them, but you want to do that. And the last thing on the agenda is the MJH annual review. And I do this every year and I give it to you guys. You're familiar with it if you've been on my calls in the past in December. Because it's something I did every year from the first year I got involved in Manatech. I knew that at the end of my first year, if I wanted things to be different, I needed to do things differently. So just common sense taught me to draft everything I did the past year, actions. What was I doing? Running out and doing opportunity meetings. I was traveling over here. I would do this. What would I do on a daily basis? What were the activities that I was doing? And then I put down on the other side of the paper, what am I going to do differently the next year? So I just kicked it off on a sheet I gave you as part of the outline today attached to it. I just put some things that I wrote. I mean, just basically, there are a lot of activities I'm doing that were inconsistent with the 3-point plan. So I just did that. Another one of the classic would be weekly coaching calls. I used to have weekly coaching calls with about 6 people in my downline. Well, in 2015. I'm not doing any of those. I'm just doing Achiever Counseling once every 4 weeks, the first week of each business period. So that becomes Achiever Counseling. So there are things that, and that's just a kickoff. I didn't give you my whole list, but I'm just giving you a place to start. But that's what you want to start looking at. What's working for you, what's not working for you? Because to continue to do things that aren't working for you is what? It's called insanity, right? It's to keep doing the same thing you always have done and expecting different results. That's insanity. It's not going to create different results. So what are you going to do differently? And part of that is, how am I going to be different? Because maybe what I'm doing isn't the problem. Maybe it's my beingness in what I'm doing. Like some of you will say, well, Mary Jo, I share with 3 people a week or 3 people a day or whatever it is, and I'm just not getting good responses. Well, I'm going to tell you the activity is not the problem. It's how you're being in that activity. Get some advice. Read some books. Call some mentors. Ask them and say, and do some, you know, do some one-on-ones. Do some mock, you know, dummy presentations with an upline or crossline or whatever to get some feedback. And what is it about your presentation style that's not very effective? So shift, because, yeah, are you going to get a lot of no's? Absolutely. Remember our chart about the circle? 65% of people probably won't have interest. 25% aren't even looking at all, and 35% might be looking, but they're not really, I mean, they're not looking, but if they found something, they might be interested. So you got 60% of the population is basically, so you're working with about 40%. And really out of the 40%, 15% are truly, truly looking. Truly can't wait to find something. And you know when we hit upon one of those people, my new business builders, I hit upon them. They're absolutely all in. And it's clear. Now, how many new business builders did I get in 2014? Maybe 4 total throughout the whole year? And how many people do I talk to? A lot, because I love talking to people. But it's that's the numbers. So be ready for that, right? Be ready for that. So it's about numbers. So you want to, you know, do your annual review and make sure that you got activities down right, that you're getting rid of activities that aren't working for you, but analyze to make sure that it's not just the way you're doing the activity that's causing it not to be effective. And that takes outside independent viewpoints, because you are coming only with your own blinders on. You want to open that up and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Talk to your upline, a mentor, somebody you respect in the business, and let them help you with perhaps not going down roads that aren't going to serve you, but helping you do the things that you have been doing, but more effectively. I think it's one of the most invaluable exercises for you to work with anyone new in your organization around presentation style. That's why the people in South Africa, they say, you know, that the 4 core activities, contact list, contact and invite, present, and follow up and close, the 4 core, they say, go off and take a day, 2 days, whatever it takes for each one of those activities to really learn it, develop the skill. Those are skill sets. They're not just doing things. They're skill sets. Because if you don't do that, you're going to run around chasing your tail and have least amount of effectiveness. When you develop those skills behind those, now all of a sudden, instead of signing up 1 person out of 25, maybe you sign up 5 people out of 25. If you can double, triple, quadruple your effective rate of closing, wouldn't you want to do that? Well, that's what those 4 skill sets are for. You develop those 4 skill sets, and you'll be more effective. So watch on that. So look at activity. Second, the other thing I put under there is habits. What are you going to give up in 2015? I already talked to Lydia about this. We're giving up newspapers. No more newspapers. Yeah, there are things in our lives that just eat us up alive. It's hard for me to give up television since my husband wants to come home and watch it. Some of you have the same issue I have. So, but I build a little office area downstairs, and I kind of don't pay attention, and I do my own work right in that area. But it limits my effectiveness in what I do. So I'm working on what that needs to look like for 2015. Because just because he wants to watch TV all the time and he wants me there, because we don't spend a lot of time together if we're not together at night, because he works outside the house. So we have to figure out what that looks like. How can we make that look differently? But there are other things I put in there, Sudoku puzzles, phone games. You know how many people I see walking around with their phone, they're hitting these little dots, and they make these dots move around, and they look like they're building. I mean, it drives me crazy. I've never done one, so I can't, you know. But I'm going to tell you, it's an addiction. It's an addiction. You get addicted to it. And I'm going to tell you, number two, it's a total waste of bloody time. It's a total waste of bloody time. What, you're working on your hand-eye coordination? Is that what you're trying to improve? Let me think. How does hand-eye coordination help build a Manatech business? Can't quite find the connection. But notice how we get caught up in. And you know what it really is? I say it's an addiction. I'm going to tell you what I really think it is. It's a escape route. You're escaping. You're escaping from the world around you because you're spending all that attention on your phone. You're escaping from your own reality. You're escaping from doing what you know needs to be done in Manatech. This gives you escape. So I just ask you to look at what are those things in your life. It may not be these phone games. It may not be newspapers, television, Sudoku, politics. I watch these people get so wound up into politics. Oh, my gosh. It's like, okay, great. What, like you're going to control what happens? So you like somebody, spend some money into them. Great. Support them that way. Put out a couple of flyers. That's great. But don't invest your entire life. You're just saying, I don't care about Manatech. And that's a choice you can make. You can go and fight those battles, but you're not gonna. You're fighting them, not gonna win or lose or, you know, my years on this planet tell me that whoever's in the office really doesn't change a whole lot of things. They all seem to end up pretty much the same way. So it's kind of like, okay, so we understand, and we understand the money game. We understand all the money that goes behind all this stuff, all the money that we could be spending on more, you know, lucrative things and things that change the world in different ways. You're just a choice. Look at it, evaluate it for yourself, and say where you're going to be. So, people, bottom line, that's it. You know, we all have a voice to be heard inside of us, and I sure want to hear yours. So what are we doing differently? Designing our life by choice and commitment, not by chance and circumstance. And that is a choice as well. So I'm just asking you all to take the energy and effort to start working on self a little bit. Work through these issues that we raised today. Do some of these tasks that we put in the outline. Work on you. Next week we'll take it to the next level, but you got to lay this foundation today. Look at these things. Where does it trigger for you? Come out with a list. I'd love to get some feedback next Monday morning when we kick off the first 10 minutes of the call on people that have worked on these things so you can all feedback into it. And then next week we'll take the next step. Love you guys. Any questions, comments, anything else I can do? How about building 2015 to be your best year yet? Anybody agree with that? Am I the only one that has my hand raised? And Manatech's laid all the foundation for us. They got a company that's busting out. The stock price is going crazy. The financial status is off the charts. They got millions in the bank. Where are we? Great question. Only you can answer that. Where are you? All right, everybody. Love it. See you next Monday, and get to work on starting laying this foundation. I know it's coming towards holidays, so that's why it's important to put some time and energy into it now. It doesn't take, 12 hours a day, but the foundation is what's so crucial. And if you wait and you go, well, I'm going to wait until after Christmas. I'm going to wait until after New Year's. Then I'm going to give you one more reward for you. You found one of your issues. It's called procrastination. How is that impacting your life today? Big question. All right, everybody. Bye.